Turning to the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, we continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. Last week we looked at verse 1 to 6, and that that was Apostle Paul's teaching. We began to teach about spiritual gifts to the church of Corinth, and that we can remember the lesson, the lesson we learned, that everyone who claims to be gifted by the Spirit in the church, Apostle Paul says, will not blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. So that everyone who is claimed to have the gift of the Spirit to work for the church in the name of Christ, we will never do anything that will blaspheme the name of Christ. Not merely saying that, saying some things against him, but we know that even the manner of his work and the manner of life, if it's contradictory to the Lord Jesus Christ and his teaching, and it rather brings a shame to his work, it's all part of that blasphemy, because it's like taking the name of the Lord in vain. And the Lord, meaning that he's not working, it's not his power of work, it's not from the Holy Spirit. As I said, the Holy Spirit, as the Lord Jesus Christ says, when he comes, all that he will do is to glorify Christ. So that anything that the Spirit enables anyone, any believer to do, is to bring glory to Christ. Nothing of self, nothing of anyone, and nothing that goes contradictory to Christ and his teaching. The Sunya verse 1 to 6, and I did by quite a bit of support, I said. Say, Obi, Edith, maybe, sir, or a Christian, or Christian, or Dimua. Say, the question is to me, when you are not with fee. So, some concrete one, and I don't much at the manual. On no me, yes, Christian, and I say, if I'm on yet, and your ma, I didn't go as here, but yes, Christian. And the idea, I had a idea who said, Obi so oye Kristo ejuma na so Kristo a friend so nyen ejuma then say no credia no say ni church re ni suni ni ban yes Jesus Kristo mesma o tie ni mesma o church re no you say Jesus Kristo o ka so ma hun konkon na ba no o se hun konkon ejuma die bi obedi no o be shere ni onyam nti so fa obi so on di juma manua be fa juma obedi juma be ti se Jesus Kristo ni onyam. So we continue tonight from verse 7, and so the same spiritual gift. So this will be part 2, because the same matters concern the spiritual gift. So I read to you verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, verse 7 will say, we can remember from verse 4 to 6, Apostle Paul said that the Holy Spirit bestows various gifts for the work of different offices in the church. That the gifts are many, the amount of operation is also maybe different. And that, but it's the same Spirit that works and gives all this, if only it is in line with what to the glory of Christ. So, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Apostle Paul, Now, I can say, or the man, my Edidjuman, my Nunyama brother, Jesus Christo. And so, although the gifts are many, and there are differences, and there are differences of appropriation, yet they are all for the purpose of edification of all the church. It is not for any particular individual's believer's benefit. The gifts are not given for individual use and for individual benefit. It is for all the church. And when we talk of the church, we think of the particular congregation that this gifts are given. Yes, the usefulness may extend to other churches, but particularly the local church, like the church at Corinth, it was a local church. And so that the gifts that are given for the members of the church is for the church. Well, when we go to Ephesus also, the same gift may be given, but it's for the church. And each church has its peculiar needs. So probably some gifts may be given to some churches where others may not even have. But whichever way is given for the benefit of the church. So that whoever is using it is not for his personal benefit. So that a gifted person cannot be proud of his spiritual abilities. So I do much idea at the man ma jumedi ebedi no aye mbwa na se mpaso dia maso ni nya nti so bi so wa do much idea enya dia o se mo o ma na na beti so se ono dia special wa so ni mu na se bi se fi se di jumedi no nya ono akeke nti aye na so ni no aye Jesus Christo atin nti nti ni 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 na ho na na ho odin ene ni jumedi no also di ade she Jesus Christo no nya ema asore no. And they are my so be any, Ubia, or so, or what, and ask your man or Adomacha, something you mama, a sorry. No. If we can remember, Apostle Paul himself, when he was talking about his usefulness, he ascribed all the glory to the grace of God. Apostle Paul said, I will not cry, do baby, now, all can't miss my, you mama, a sorry, no, senior coupon, a fan, so you man, so your apostle. No. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, it says that by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, referring to all the other apostles. That he's not speaking out of pride, but he's showing that though he did so much, which all the churches knew, and even his letters shows, yet it wasn't he who did them. It was the grace, the gifts of God given to him to do all that he did. So that there's nothing of pride in him. There's nothing to glory of. But as he himself said, if you glory in Christ. And to your castle, and Ukraine, a small foreigner is Christo Power Mono Beckham. You may deal no din case by any prayers, your friends or city and try our try any prayer. And so on, can't I'm fun to know? Or Father said, go to me any year, you say, I hope one too much idea or demand into to me. And only of Father said, and she a moon and you yammy and also a prayer radical. It's on up or support now, can't baby said. So bear or bet to know who they are, bet to know Christo, or the Christo, the bet to know, on far or Nankasan whom to know. So that is it, that by the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It is not for private use and also for personal whatever reputation. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So say I do maybe more in some kaya nyansa sam the Ohansa maybe more some kaya knowledge. I got it, but forgotten. So knowledge. I'm struggling to get a G. Nimdie. Yes. Anyansa sem ne. And some are nimdie. And some are anyansa sem. Yes. So, but you ask, what are these gifts? They can say that in your system any India Adumache the air there. I'm sure, I don't know if you there have been much misunderstanding about this gift. You may be no for churches are Adumache the Mua, Muchacha Mua, and because these people will interpret this gift not with scripture,
You just imagine how the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom should be. And there's a common false interpretation of this gift among the Pentecostal and charismatic churches. Pentecostal and charismatic, I'm sorry. In church, we first had the one hanging from Mukrim Pire. And that this false teaching that among these, the groups, the Pentecostal and the charismatic churches, it is captured in this statement which I found in this website. This website is run by a charismatic teacher. The name is Roots and Wings Ministries International. And look at how he explains this. And his explanation is the common interpretation which these people, the Pentecostal and charismatic, hold. They may vary, but they hold on to the same. The heading says all spiritual gifts flow together. And look at what he says. The wonderful thing is that you will find that all revelatory gifts of the Spirit can flow through and into one another, especially when you are ministering to another person. What often happens is the word of knowledge, then he explained the word of knowledge, the revealing of information, primarily past or present, in someone's life is presented. I'm sure we get what he's saying. The other can say, I don't know what they mean by ministry. I don't know what they mean by ministry. But it's like, oh, so oh yeah, yeah, me juma. I say, obia, oh, to me, you be no hunsem. I'm going to be you be hunsem. At the mouth, and in some of fun of home, if you might be my fun of home. No, we hear more on our home. Son of patch. I say, no name. As I can say, so be ya, nimdia, son of sir, if you walk. I tell you, the Hunim DM, son of Patches, so when you be Hunsem, maybe I was sorry, maybe I also for an answer that would dig man or not when you be Hunsem, not on your mouth. Okay. And look at the definition of the word of wisdom. My definition of a word of wisdom is simple, and he goes on. A word of wisdom is simply the wisdom of God, which is true. Then he explains it is the supernatural impartation of facts, guidance, and solutions. This is his own interpretation. This spiritual gift works in unity and interactively with other revelatory gifts such as word of knowledge. So he's connecting the two. And the gift of discernment, adding this one too. Now he's explaining. It is a supernatural solution to troubles or dilemmas. That's the word of wisdom. Or it can be as simple as the solution, application required to the word of knowledge previously received. So, he's just using what we say, wisdom and application of knowledge. So he's just connecting it. But all that he says is nothing of Christ. There's nothing of spiritual life about revealing something about somebody, his personal life. And if we go on to that, he makes a reference to himself, the point when he was working, and there was some huge difficult time he has to undertake. In his workplace, and then he sat down thinking, and there was a revelation for him to solve that work solution. And he attributed to this gift of word of knowledge, word of wisdom. That means when a difficult situation comes in life, and then the Spirit gives you direction. That's what he's saying. You know, why I'm taking time because you know this so-called. People they say they're giving consultation to people. It comes from this. They say they have this gift of word of knowledge and word of wisdom about people so that they can give direction to people's problem. Word of knowledge, you know. I read several articles about these people, and sometimes they teach people how they should have these gifts. I remember one article said that you sit down on a chair and you hear, it's foolishness, you see. And yes, they teach people how they should have this gift, word of knowledge and word of wisdom. I'm sure some of us some of you who have been to charismatic churches, you understand what I'm saying. So simply, what they imply is that these gifts are for revealing information about others, difficult life situations, and their solutions. That's what they are saying. The Omo Pajani said, Nimdiye Adumachediye, and then Yansa Sem Adumachediye. And I said, Emma Unya, and Semu Afebimu, and you'll make a mapra boom, you'll make a den or momo, a crime with me a few. But you ask, how does this so-called revelations, proposed solutions, whatever, by these so-called revelations, concerns people, life, glorify Christ? How can this so-called revelation about people glorify Christ? Say, I can say, unya agree, obi, same for do now, so unya na mano, anu ye di anakwancha, and ni Christo, inu unya, fence, track a bende wo. And also, how do these ideas promote sinner salvation and holiness of believers? Because if there's a trouble in your business and you have a solution to it, how does it glorify Christ? This is your world business. Okay, let's continue. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. But for us to understand these gifts and their purpose, the Bible must teach us. The scripture must teach us. So I have some few verses which gives us understanding about this gift. The first one is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 23, particularly verse 17. Verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom has to be the gift of wisdom, and to have that wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of who Christ. See, Apostle was praying for the Corinthians that God will give them this, so that this particular ability to have that spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Christ. So when you talk of wisdom and knowledge in Christian life, is Christ. Okay, the next verse is 2 Peter 3:15-16. And it says, and I count that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. The wisdom given to Apostle Paul. And no doubt we see what Apostle Paul wrote in the epistle. The wisdom. And what was the wisdom Apostle Paul wrote about? Christ. It wasn't about his personal life and others' personal life. Written unto you. And he moves on that people don't even understand some of the things Apostle Paul has written. But what was the wisdom that was given to Apostle Paul? And that is the epistles we have. If you read them, it's not by anybody but Christ and His glory and the church. Okay, the next verse is Colossians 2:2-3. Here too is a prayer of Apostle Paul to these Colossians, that they have been comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the fullness of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now he says, in whom, that is in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this has to do with wisdom and knowledge about Christian life. All Christians' wisdom and knowledge is in Christ. It's about Him and how He wants us to live for Him. And these treasures are hidden in Christ. So, how would the Spirit reveal this wisdom? And it's about somebody's personal life. You see, the wisdom and knowledge of the Christian life is in Christ. So, the more we know Him, the more we get this knowledge of Him, And the more the Spirit also gives us wisdom to apply this knowledge of Him to our personal Christian lives. Yes, first of all, ye nyansa ene ye nimdiye nyano ye Christo. Say ye Bible can say Christo for nyansa ne nimdiya. E Christ e fa Christo hum. Any mesi mo pe say ye to me a trans Christo for. So the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge pertains to the mystery of redemption. That is what we are told here in this verse. It says in the Colossians I read, it says that their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. The mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. This mystery was once hidden, but by this gift of it wasn't clear the mystery of redemption. What he's saying about the mystery of the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, it has to do with the mystery of redemption, the plan of redemption, which was not so clear in the Old Testament, even to the prophets who prophesied about them. But when Christ came, it was so clearly given, not in types, but in clear teachings. And everything was clear after he finished his work of redemption. Everything was clear. The plan of salvation was revealed. It was no more a mystery. It has been revealed. And the apostles wrote about this thing. So, such things that were unclear about redemption, now it's, by this gift of word of wisdom and knowledge, the Spirit reveals it to the church. So the truth of the redemption of Christ, which was not clear, even to the apostles themselves, the Spirit has revealed to them the teachings of redemption. You see, they were cowards and timid. Peter could speak about Christ boldly at the door of Pentecost because the Spirit gave him that utterance to speak. Apostle Paul could preach from town to town, state, and he was able to, every people, he was able to teach them the gospel from the land of Israel to the Gentile lands. He was able to preach the gospel to them with full, clear understanding of the truths of redemption, without any fear, without any drawing back, because it was so clearly given to him. And so, truth about the wisdom of God concerning the glory of Christ and His church is what this gift is giving, so that those who have this gift will have a clearer understanding about the mysteries of redemption. But now it's not mystery because it's revealed, but then more clearer knowledge, so that we can know Christ more by the teachings of these gifted persons, gifted believers in the church, and that we can understand clearly, and so that our spiritual life becomes better. Sinners will be convinced of their sinfulness by the gospel, because we clearly taught Christ and His glory will clearly be set forth because of these gifts, where the knowledge and the wisdom of God is clearly brought forth by the help of this the Spirit. And so, in the early church, you know that in the early church there were some preachers who were inspired. When you say inspired preachers or teachers, they were like apostles and the prophets of the early church. You know, the early church didn't have the New Testament as we have, but so for the church to have teachings, God gifted, apart from the apostles, other men to be able to communicate these mysteries of redemption clearly, and they need this gift to be able to do that. Yankupon ni kure e fa Kristo ni oje ejumo obeye no ho a sa aduma chede e ka ho asemi eno na eboa ema asori to me enhu sa esuehunu no etumi motumi echeche mu ye na asori no shaase no na yewo nsem kanfo bi omo a se omo nya omo nsem no efi yankupon direct. Because now New Testament in the enjoy it. In some way, in the actual, it means kind nature, Chemono. I'm going to need more direct. Apart from apostles, never prophets. I'm going to say, 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 I'm going to say ekyekyere kristo ni ọjie dwuma ọbẹyẹ ẹni hu nsẹm mesi ma abọnefo betumi abegye die nya nkwa ẹna egye difo nso ọmụ gye die etumi enyi wọ saa nsẹm ni mu ọmụ ẹwọ saa abụmakye die. And so, so in the early church, people, the apostles and the prophets, will receive this truth directly. And they didn't have the New Testament scriptures to us. We can teach and preach from the New Testament. They receive it, and that they teach the church directly from the Spirit. So this was a gift to help. But now we know that all that the Spirit inspired these preachers to speak is now written down in the Holy Scriptures for us. All that they taught and those that God wants His church to have is written down for us. So that it is written down by the apostles, those who wrote the scriptures. In Ephesians 2:20, we are told of that. The foundation of the church is on the apostles and the prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone, who is the foundation. But the apostle and prophet taught what himself laid. And so, this gift, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, is to help this act of making things clear about redemption, and to both to convince sinners. You know how Apostle Peter could preach at the Pentecost, and we were told that these people were cut to their heart. It was so clear that his message was directly to them. They were really brought to the understanding. How did he get that? He was an online person, even himself. He didn't, and Apostle Paul himself, he was a Jew and he was a Pharisee. His understanding of scripture was totally wrong. How did Apostle Paul get that knowledge about Christ and his teaching? He himself said that God revealed it to him. How did he? By this gift. So that he can clearly speak about Christ. The wisdom and the knowledge that believers need. The wisdom and knowledge that sinners need to hear. Because to be saved from sin, we have to be wise according to God's word. And how can we be wise if the teachings are not clear? So the sound teachings of the apostles and the early church, which were so clear about the work of redemption, is by this gift of word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. So you know that in why this wisdom and knowledge for the Christian life is laid down by the apostles. Apostle Peter said that he joined the authority of the apostles, them with that of the prophet. Let me just read it to you. In sometimes people think there should be apostles today, and I wonder if we can join the authority with what Peter is saying. 2 Peter 3 verse 2, he says, telling the believers, he says that ye may be mindful of the words of which were spoken before by the holy prophet, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Us, Apostle Peter himself and all the apostles, their teachings were authoritative. All their teachings were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Like the apostle, the prophet of old, who spoke authoritatively, but that said the Lord. And it was that. So those who claim to be prophet today, they think of second prophetic work, whatever, I mean, which is inferior to. No, the church has always had prophets, and the words of the prophet has the Old Testament prophet. It is directly, if it is a true prophet, the word is directly from God. It is inspired. It was inspired in those days. So Peter, Apostle Peter could say, they should be mindful of the prophet of all their words, and they, the apostles, how God they have received revelation for the church. And so we have to hold their words as the words of Christ, because they spoke by the Spirit of Christ. And Apostle Peter, of course, 2 Peter 3 verse 2, said the maker said, Mkwonkwono, Emma, a church of war, a sorry, a chassis, and no more, as a mono, omunya, in church, if you can conquer on the church, so I'm saying I intro scripture, intro Bible, but apostles, you know, actual Bible, not what you see here. In German seminal, eh, oh, to me, was sorry, so Apostle Peter, Miss Moss, say a jig, a commercial 44, and I am a dear evidence and forms of our German is almost infinite. Apostles, almost 7 years, or say a jig, You know, people, when you talk of women pastors, I always repeat this because people are so ignorant. They say, oh, Apostle Paul, when he was writing those, he didn't like women. Look at what Peter is saying. What he's saying, that they should take heed to the command. Their words are the same of the apostles of old. How come, and then you come and you take the Bible and say, oh, this portion, Apostle Paul was not, he didn't like women. It's a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. The teachings of Apostle Paul was from the Spirit of God. And to say that a portion of them is not inspired, it's a blasphemy. The American said, people can say, oh, Apostle Paul, in some of church refers, I don't say, Emma and Balgram, Meye, I'm sorry, I saw for an answer in Penibono. When Apostle Paul, no, on Pem Marcel. But so, the Peter, Apostle Peter, I can't say, I'm on church, you know, it is said to say, I come here for me, I'm going to use you on one. And your patches, I'm on seminar, to say, yes, Christ, and Emma, what can one? Now, I'm going to cast Apostle Paul, in some of church, and now I say, on Pem Marcel. I'm going to put you on, I'm going to put you on patches, and in some of kind, and you see. The apostles chosen by the Lord, their words are authoritative. We don't have any apostles as apostles of the church chosen for that specific. People may call themselves apostles, but they are not apostles, scripturally apostles, as we know, the gifts that were given to them, as a calling that God gave them. But their task was different. Anyway, all the apostles had revelation of Christ. They had a personal witness of him, and Christ revealed himself to them personally. No one can claim that today. And Christ, they were specifically chosen for that work. And we see established a church, and the work has been, the foundation is laid, the doctrine and teachings are already finished. The church don't need any new revelations. The church need to learn from what has been given to the church in the scriptures, and to live our life by that. Okay, so now the gift of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge will enable teachers in the church to understand. Now, because you know, still this gift is there, but it doesn't operate where you receive direct revelation from the Spirit. But it will operate in this way, so that the truth that were written down has been written up by these apostles who received these revelations. Now, how do you understand them and apply it to the church? Apply to life of believers. The spirit will give this gift so that teachers in the church will understand and take this truth concerning Christ and his church. You see? So that the church that will come after the apostles, the pastors and teachers, will have the gift to understand the writings that are written down and apply it to the life of Christians generation after generation. You see? If you don't have clear understanding of the scripture, how can you teach it right? Sound teaching comes with this gift of understanding, and this understanding has come if we know more of Christ. Yes, because everything is about him. So the spiritual gift, this word of wisdom, word of knowledge, but to those who teach, so that the knowledge of scripture will be applied for believers, so that they will be edified to walk in the Christian life. We don't need to receive any new revelations, but what is given already is enough. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be fully furnished. That's what Second Timothy or First Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given for the Christian life. Everything we have, everything, you see. And now the exhortation of Paul is given to Timothy. Now the scripture that we have. In those times, the Old Testament, but now the New Testament has been written, so it will be included for now. So this gift is given so that all that the apostles and the prophets have laid down for the conviction of sinners and for the edification of the faith of believers, we can understand them and teach. And so, you know, Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians 5:1-17. For their growth in the wisdom and knowledge of Christ. I'll quote again. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So that the church must have always grow in this knowledge of Christ and the wisdom to apply this knowledge of Christ to our life. The church, if Christians are not growing in this knowledge, there's a problem. Because every time we need to grow So he's praying for them. It's not that they don't have, because they have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but that they will have increase of the knowledge of Christ and the wisdom to use this knowledge to live. Because if we have knowledge, people may have knowledge of Scripture, but they don't live by it. They cannot apply it to their lives. That's not what we are to do. As we learn, the more we learn, the Lord grants us the wisdom how we apply this truth into our lives. Moreover, the fruit of the gift of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge is given us in the verse 18 to 23 of Ephesians 1. Let me read it to you so that you see the fruit. This gift, and if it's able to work for us. Apostle has prayed for them, and look at what he says. When they have received this gift, when they have it working among them. Verse 18, the eyes, you see, when this gift has operated, has worked for them to benefit from. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. When this gift of knowledge and wisdom has done their work in the church, this is what happens. Our understanding will be enlightened, and then we may know the hope. You know, many believers, sometimes we come cold of our Christian walk because we seem to lose sight of our calling. A Christian hope will be a Christian abroad, and I say, you know, if we say, and it does throw away a frame, you know, I say, every year. The hope of our calling is that we may get to heaven. Is that we will finally be saved from this world and get to heaven. You see, that Christ will be in us, and that we'll be assured of salvation of Christ, so that in the world to come, we know that we'll be in glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that when we have Christ and his life in us, then we should put our eyes. That's why in the Colossians chapter 3, set your affection. We have to set our affections on him and in him above. And when we're able to do that, then we know the hope of our calling. And the hope of he connects, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of Christian is not the worldly riches. So that the more we know of Christ, then we know more of this riches of grace. You see, many charismatic teaching, riches of Christ is money, worldly possession. No. Look at what? So that what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints? What Christ has really given us? What is our portion? It's not this world, in Christ. And his salvation for us from sin. The life of holiness, giving us the power over sin, so that we will have liberty to obey God without fear. You see? And these are the things the believer has. And that our final inheritance, glory. So when we leave this world, we'll be joint heirs with Christ. So that if we should suffer anything, we wouldn't mind. But continue to live and obey him, because we have a better hopes above. When we lose sight of these things, our Christian world will become cold. And he moves on. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? The power of salvation is the same power that rose Christ from the dead. And so the more we are we are so refreshed, and we are growing that understanding and coming to appreciate our salvation from sin, then we come to appreciate the power. Well, how can God save us from sin? You see? How are we able to overcome sin? By the death of Christ. By the death of Christ, our sins were cancelled. And by the death of Christ and his resurrection brought to us the newness of life. The new life that we have received through Christ has brought us into that position where we are like resurrected with him. So that it's a picture of, as Romans Apostle Paul said, that those that have risen from the dead do not live in sin. So that we who have had his life may live no more in a life of sin. And this will always enable us to seek for more grace to live that life which God has intended for us as believers. You see, so this knowledge and this wisdom should lead us this way, to make us to appreciate more of the glory of Christ, the cause of our salvation, our inheritance in the world to come, in heaven, and our work of holiness. But what they talk about this gift is to teach us about revelations of this life. See, so we know that the revelations about the kingdom of God is not about wisdom and knowledge for business, for economics, for politics, for science or technology. No, the wisdom and the knowledge which the sweet gifts believers to have to be able to help the church, it's not about wisdom and knowledge about businesses, economics, politics, science and technology. No, these things, you don't need to be a Christian to acquire this wisdom or knowledge about politics or science or technology. No, you don't need to be Christian. I mean, the worldly people who are not Christian have this already. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, it was the Roman Empire who was the political nation of the world. They were not Christians. They were ruling the world. But then, the wisdom of God was there. The wisdom of God, which he gave to the church, the Roman Empire didn't have. But nowadays, the false teachers of Christianity, who have come Christian, Christianity says, well, the Christian must have that knowledge about everything in the world. If it's about science, Christian must be the head. If it's about politics, Christian must be the head. If it's about business, Christian must... No! That's not the wisdom of God or the knowledge of God for us. It's in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Everything, I mean, short of this, is not God's wisdom. You see, if any knowledge or wisdom that does not direct how sinners may obtain righteousness of God through Christ and how believers may grow in the character of Christ, it's not part of the gift which the Spirit has bestowed on the church. Whatever wisdom it is, whatever knowledge it is, if it's not about how we can have a clearer view of knowing the gospel to convince sinners to bring them to Christ, and also how we can have a clearer view of our duties as Christians and have a delight to continue the Christian life to please the Lord, then it's not from the Spirit. To be like Christ, it's not from the Spirit. Any ideas that seem to promote any other thing apart from this, it's not what the Spirit gave as wisdom and knowledge to the church. So I'm sure these things are clearer to us. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. I mean, when I was growing up as a Christian, I heard so much things, many things about these things. People claim to have the word of knowledge about people, word of wisdom. It is nothing of Christ. It's matters of people's personal life and telling. It's so dirty and. And so, and I can remember some of the so-called pastors, the things they can do with this gift is amazing. I cannot tell you the thing they can say about people, because they say they have the gift of knowledge, or the gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Far back in secondary school, SU, I remember some of my friends, when they go, I mean, some of those who claim to have this gift, and the nonsense they do, you see, because they claim to have this gift. And this is what so-called... men of God or prophets, whatever they claim to have, to speak about people and tell them. Our time is going, let me move on. Verse 19, to another by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gift of healing by the same Spirit. I'll be fast because my time is already gone. To another faith by the same Spirit. Here, this is not saving faith, because all believers in Christ have saving faith. But this is an extraordinary faith which some believers will have in God and His promises to undertake risk and to persevere in difficulties and dangers for the gospel of Christ. This, not all believers may have this faith. To be, yes, they will be Christians, good Christians, but to have that confidence which is beyond the ordinary in the promise of God, to undertake risk, to persevere in difficulties and dangers for the gospel. And this faith, whatever it will lead anybody, is for the cause of the gospel and nothing else. I've heard this also, the charismatics has abused it. They attribute the gift of faith to self-confidence. So that if I can things and do something. I believe that it will work. No, that's not the gift of faith. So the gift of faith that you are confident that so and so can happen and you claim that it happens. No, that's not the gift of faith. It is always in connection with the gospel of Christ. Do you know faith? And they claim that, you know, there's a faith that is a faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word. But no, this gift of faith doesn't base on. No, it's a lie. Every Christian faith of Christian is founded on God's truth. There's no faith of Christian that works in a vacuum. JDB a Christian, JDB and a Jenko Pony Press. It's that JDS from Grandpa, a Chedia, Adoma Chedia, Obia, Jedia, Sendipan Obenya. JDS from Jedendi on Yankupona, Nasemu, and the Washing Modi Juma, Modi Ama, Jesus Christo, Nisem Pano, it to me, Eddie Jumama, at the boy for an answer, showing it to me, it to so. And that's what this gift of faith is about. The gift of faith was seen in Stephen, in Acts chapter 6. Stephen, we are told, he was called a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. All believers have faith, but he's called a man full of faith. And look at the work of Stephen, the boldness. He was the first martyr of Christ. He boldly spoke against these Jews who were against him. When they were stoning, he was still firm in his defense. This is what we call gift of faith. You see, it makes God's servant, God's people, strong and able to withstand all the adversities. This is not all Christians be able to do that. Some Christians are given. The apostles and many of the Christians in the early church who persevered in persecution to spread the gospel, they demonstrated this special gift of faith. Sometimes you read the history of Apostle Paul. It will amaze you. Why? How can he do that? They beat him up. He was almost about to die. The next time, the few hours he was, he had refreshed, he was the next time preaching. It seems it's not normal. And moved on. They moved on. Many of this, and again, you look at Stephen himself. You see, he's called a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. In church history, the gift of faith was seen in many heroes of the Christianity. The Luthers, the Calvins, and all those we read of about, William Tyndale and others. Sometimes, why did they have this gift of faith? To trust in how can William Tyndale give his life to preserve the Bible? Yes, other believers also believe in the Bible. You see, this is what we are talking about, a gift of faith. That extraordinary confidence which ordinarily Christians may have, but not to that. We think of the missionaries who ventured to be died there just to proclaim the gospel, not knowing that they will be returned back to their home. Nothing moved them. The courage they had, you see. And also all faithful ministers of Christ demonstrate the gift of faith today. Those who can also be faithful to commit themselves to the work of Christ, no matter what it is, for the church, and to persevere without the gift of faith, they couldn't. You see? That's why they are discouraged, whatever, they move on, trusting that God has promised that He will build His church and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. Even if everybody should leave Christ, He will stand alone. I'm sure when you read some of the histories of Christians, we see some people standing alone, even remember Luther and Athanasius and others. How could they? You see, God raised these people up so that they will be set a stand for Him even when everything seems to be crashing down. Today, what the charismatic talk about gift of faith? Well, he have confidence. I remember one pastor on television speaking of this man, he's called Idahusa, one of their men. He said that he has a gift of faith, he can command an aeroplane that has flew off to return. What kind of nonsense is that? That's a gift of faith. God had a gift of faith. So the aeroplane took off and he could command it to return. What kind of nonsense is that? And that's what they claim to be gift of faith. No. Let's look at the church history, the heroes of faith. Those who have really at the perils of their life, went on to like Livingston, who came to Africa. I mean, he came to die. I mean, people like it's unreasonable to go, but by his work, the gospel came. Like Hudson Taylor and others, you see. William Carey and others, they have the gift of faith. When everybody thought, oh no, it's not possible, how can this be? No. They persevered. This is the gift of faith, you see. The gift of faith. My time is already gone. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. This gift of healing was a sign gift for the confirmation of the work of the apostles. We have it in Mark. I cannot go to explain. Mark 16, 14 to 20. The Lord gave that to them. If they believe, these signs will follow them. It was part. Apostle Peter and John, we saw it in their ministry. Apostle Paul also, we saw it in his ministry. But you know, people claim to be gift healers today. What is their reason? You see, it was given as a sign gift to confirm the work of the apostles. What is their reason of healing? I mean, practicing so-called healing, even if it's healing at all. You see? And how they have been doing it is not what is in the scripture. The manner is different. My time is gone. Let me move on. I think I cannot move. My time is gone. Okay, so I'll join this to next time too. Because the other one will be a different subject, but I'll join it to explain the other parts of the verse. So, these are the things, and sometimes when I read about this spiritual gift, because of years ago, what others have spoken, those times I was myself confused about. I believe it wasn't true. But how do you respond to them? They claim these are the experiences. How do you respond to them? I remember when I got saved in early years, I had a friend, an old friend. He was an old charismatic, and he could tell me, oh, if I'm not speaking in tongues, then I'm not really converted. Where is in the Bible written that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not converted? But I was confused by that, you see. That's why when I'm talking about this, I sometimes feel so passionate. But we'll continue next time. May the Lord help us.